Good afternoon, friends. Stephen Benoon with my wife, Yana Benoon, and of course, special guest, Deborah Tavares, coming to us right out of California. And we're going to be talking today about some very interesting topics with Deborah. So just sit back, relax, and because in the future, it's not going to be very relaxing. So you might as well relax while you have a chance. Anyway, thank you, Deborah.
Welcome, Deborah, and welcome everyone who is listening. And Deborah, please tell us what's new there on your side of the world.
Yes, well, thank you both very much. Again, I'm Deborah Tavares. I run StopTheCrime.net and PrimaryWater.org. Today is Wednesday, and it is July the 28th of 2021. Now, not that what I'm going to talk about is specifically date orientated, but I just want you to follow the sequence of reporting as time has gone by. So I'm going to first go over the most current events about water, all of you need to know about this, because water is, of course, the driver of the world, of our environment, of our homes, of our cities. Water provides our current existence, and not so much in the future, because there are different plans for how we get water, which is from wastewater treatment plants. But water gives us life, at least it has up until now. We're here in Northern California. I'm about an hour north of the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm going to go over some of the local illusions of running out of water so that you can see how this is playing out here. All of you are going to soon be out of water, or at least you're going to be told you're out of water. I want to make a couple of updates, though. On primarywater.org, I have a tab over on the right-hand side of the website where I have posted well driller or primary water locators. Now, when you are considering drilling a well, which if you're going to, you need to do it immediately, or you're not going to get to it to the primary water at all. You need two people. You need the primary water locator that helps locate where the water is, and then you need to have a driller on site, a well driller on site, to drill that well while the locator is there. Well drillers are not taught about primary water, and they cannot drill and find it. Oftentimes they're just lucky, and because it is so prevalent, we are the water planet, but at this point in time, and the cost, the increasing cost of well drilling has just skyrocketed, because the well drillers that I've talked to are booked out a year before they can drill, and I've talked to a number of local well drillers. This may not be the case for you, but you need to know that some of the rigs that are breaking down, they can't get parts because of the supply chain difficulty. So they're having to have parts made locally, costing a lot of money and increased downtime for the well drilling equipment. I wanted to certainly tell all of you now that the cost of doing this is going to escalate rapidly, and many are not going to be able to get to the water at all. So I can't encourage you enough. If you've been on the fence, you have the money, you have the land, you've got some wells already, and you don't aren't pumping adequate amount of water, you want to try to do this immediately, because I'm going to let you know what it looks like in a couple of states right now where they've got the illusion going that we're out of water. And this is a situation in the town of Mendocino. Mendocino is about a little over 100 or so miles north of the Golden Gate. It is a gorgeous coastal town on a bluff overlooking the Pacific Ocean in Northern California. It is a go-to vacation area. Well, about a week ago, they claimed that the wells were dry, and the Board of Supervisors has now allowed the populace to get in, to bring in water tanks so that they can put water tanks out in their yards without the requirements of a permit, because they are in a water crisis. And they're getting water literally delivered to them by water trucks. An average family of three, it's cost for 1 month, it's costing them about $520 per month for a family of three to fill the tank. And they're having to forego all dust control on the roads. Of course, increased dust causes lung disease and various other ailments as well. all part of the plan. You may remember that just recently there was a multi-lane car accident killing a number of people because of a dust storm. All part of the plan, the weaponization of events that are being done to us. So here we are in Northern California. This gorgeous, beautiful, go-to travel town is being shut down from the ability to have local workers work in the small little shops, because these folks don't make that much money. They can't afford $525 worth of water being trucked in. And I'm not clear whether they have to supply the poly tanks or not. It seems like the homeowners do have to buy the tanks. And as you know, certainly poly tanks are at a bare minimum. You can't find them because of the resin decline here in the United States. All resin products are going to be very and are becoming extremely difficult to get. So now I want to move along into what is happening in some other areas, because again, as I said, in Mendocino, they're now trucking in water. And each person they're saying that is allowed to use 50 gallons of water per day. This is for health and safety purposes. You cannot water any outside landscaping at all. This already occurred in the town of Healdsburg near where I am, where they're now hauling in, they're trucking in to plastic tanks that people have on their sidewalks and pumping in poop, urine, and medications of undetermined toxins. And this is what the people are allowed to use to put moisture on their exterior plants. They are not allowed to water any exterior plants other than with this deadly concoction. I actually drove into Healdsburg with my husband, and I felt like I was in an Outer Limits sci-fi movie, watching these poop and urine trucks run around and fill these plastic tanks that the owners had to buy and find, which are difficult to find. And they had to buy submersible pumps and hoses to connect to it. And they have to pump this water out within the first 48 hours of delivery, because the poop water and urine water gets very thick and slimy and grows fungus and smells badly. So they have to pump it out within the first 48 hours. And if they don't have colored tanks, it's even recommended that they pump it out onto their landscaping prior to that. Or it'll clog up the pump and it won't pump through their hoses. They do get 500 gallons of this water, sewer sludge, delivered to them on a weekly basis. When you think about 500 gallons, that's not very much. They really cannot keep much of their exterior landscaping alive. We're in a tremendous, very hot drought condition that, of course, has been planned as well. Healdsburg is a very upscale, beautiful town, and I liken it to Marin. They're both lovely areas to be here in Northern California, both heavily fluoridated, which is one reason I suspect that they have these unbelievable water rationing programs set up, because sadly these people who have been drinking fluoride are already subdued and they're not able to respond as many would that are not being fluoridated. So I would recommend you check immediately if you are on city water delivery, if your water is being fluoridated, because maybe this is why people you know aren't responding to the enormity of what we all face. And we all face situations, attacks, and assaults that are beyond most people's imagination to even grasp. This is a very quick water update on what is happening here in California, but this is happening nationwide. So I don't want you to think in terms of, oh, just California. This is happening in Utah and Idaho as well. In fact, I just recently learned that in many locations, they're no longer allowing new housing to be built. And this falls in lockstep with the turnkey plans for all of us as we are relocated as water or climate refugees. We will be housed in vacant buildings. That's what Operation Turnkey is about. I recently heard about that. That is what is happening now to many homeless people. We have been told by our governor here in California that we have a deadline. the cities have a deadline to move out and house a high percentage of homeless people, and they will be housing them in older hotels that the cities will be buying. We have had many, or I should say several, older hotels being acquired by the cities here in our county, and they're moving in homeless people. This is going to be happening all around the country and actually worldwide, because we're going to have a lot of unoccupied, freestanding, turnkey buildings because of all of the collapse of businesses that will come in the forthcoming lockdown, or in the soon coming lockdown, which looks to be before the end of this year for sure. So we're looking at decreased new housing. We're looking at the government hoarding supplies. There was a large warehouse that was filmed by a trucker in Phoenix, Arizona, 5 miles square, and it had lumber that we and many builders can't find for rebuilding purposes here after folks lose their homes for various types of weaponized events. So that's a quick rundown on water. Again, primarywater.org, my additional link to find the locators that you can pay to have come out to your property, make arrangements. You're going to have to set up a well driller, get the driller out there simultaneously with the locator, and try to get to water while you can. Plastic is becoming a problem, and you do need some plastic in the primary water drill requirements. So I will leave you with that. I will come back on another transmission with more detail. I also want to advise all of you on StopTheCrime.net. If you have not signed up for our email blast, you can go to StopTheCrime.net, check out our Blast Out tab. I have sent a number of recent blasts out. One in particular brings around what's happening with the ability to heat up certain areas. Many areas have become very hot. Over 500 people died in Canada as a result of some of these unbelievable heat events where temperatures clock out at historical highs. So what we know is that they are using orbital mirrors and being able to heat up specific geographical areas. I've reported on Pacific Gas and Electric, which is Rothschild. Your utilities are Rothschild owned and operated utilities as well, where they are using weapons from space, and that operation is called Solarin. And I talk about this in this email blast out. I'm just going to tell you a few topics within that blast out, relying upon you to look this up for yourself. But I will tell you that they're targeting specific areas of this country for intentional heat events. They call it heat islands. And those are their words. These are war words. It's gaming us with heat islands. And what that means is the cities with high electromagnetic frequencies from all of the wireless, which increases the heat, as well as people that are using equipment, are also increasing the heat in the high density areas. They're also talking about cities in particular that have no landscaping, no parkway trees, no shrubberies, no plants, because the plants cool down the areas. I found a list of the 20 top cities that will have the worst urban heat coming up. And because of climate change, which of course we know is the use of weather technologies and planned weather events. Here is the list of 20 areas in the United States. And of course, this applies worldwide, but this is just a list identifying the 20 worst urban heat areas within this country that are going to have oppressive heat events, and people will die. And this is starting at 1 going through 20. New Orleans, Newark, New York, Houston, San Francisco, Boston, Chicago, Miami, Baltimore, Providence, Sacramento, Salinas, California, Burlington, Vermont, Bend, Oregon, Cleveland, Detroit, Erie, Pennsylvania, Fresno, California, Lafayette, Louisiana, McAllen, Texas. So it's very important to understand what the lack of water allowed to be used to keep your vegetation alive is going to create. It's going to increase the heat events in your dense populated areas. And again, I'm going to stop at this Well, I'll say a few more things. I found out, too, that there's a competition between Google and Alphabet to take over the utilities, and the utilities are vying for smart houses. This is the future where everything can be operated from your home remotely. And in this email blast out, I go over the many items that you should not have in your homes, plus a link to a document that talks about how the pandemic has stressed the crowded digital home. And what that talks about is the opportunity to create smart homes. Everything will be wireless, everything, even yoga mats, trackers, cameras, etc. Now, one of the things that you may find in your electric bill coming up from your electric company is the thermostat. What they're doing with the thermostats through your electric companies is they're saying, put in this wireless thermostat so on hot days they can remotely increase the temperature and save you money and certainly potentially stop a brownout or a power outage. Now, keep in mind, they're creating the heat. They're causing the power outages. They're causing the brownouts. This is behind everything that is being done, and we're being moved into literally electrified chambers called wireless smart homes. So what I would certainly suggest for all of you that are listening, get rid of everything that is wireless in your homes, because this is an electromagnetic overdosing unlike anything that humanity or your animals have experienced in the past. I want to throw this out because I think this is extremely important. I found out that there are some primary water drillers in Africa right now, and they're drilling to allow areas for some of the wildlife to get to water because they're drying out Africa just as they are the Western United States. The animals are dying of lack of water too. So it's about animals, it's about humans, it's about survival at this point. So again, anything wireless, you need to hardwire up and get off of it, because it is your choice to kill yourself in that regard. Now I want to get into something that has just really, it's really put me in a tailspin. And I'm saying this because it was something that I just happened to stumble on, and I'm going to discuss it with all of you right now. It had been a very long time since I attended any face-to-face meetings within my county because of COVID. Everything was on Zoom. I went to one of my first face-to-face meetings about a week ago. It was for farmers and agricultural ranchers, and it was about fire resilience. I went because there were a number of speakers, and I wanted to find out the ways in which they were plotting against us. And oh boy, did I find out some information that is unbelievable. What I learned is that we're all being told to know our zone, which is a zone you get from your local evacuation maps. And I have been hearing, know your zone, know your zone. And that would apply to every one of you listening. You all are in, you're all mapped out, and you're supposed to know your zone, because if you're forced to evacuate ahead of a hurricane or a flood event that they may know is going to occur, any kind of planned weather event, they want you to know your zone so that they can call evacuations out in a timely order. Now, what I saw at this meeting at first didn't hit me until I left. And what I saw was this huge zone map of Sonoma County. And I saw large, it was color-coded, and I saw large zones of areas that were abutting the Pacific Ocean, because that's very sparsely inhabited. Where I saw small, very small zones were in the areas that I'm familiar with, where there's quite a bit of population zones. So I asked for a copy of that map. They would not give it to me. They told me to just simply type in my address and find out my zone. Well, I'm glad that they wouldn't give me that map, because I wouldn't be able to tell you what I now know. And what I now know is, when I started to try to find the map, and find out who was behind creating these maps. And I fell into a snake pit. And I'm going to tell all of you what this is now. It's hard to believe. I'm still reeling from it myself right now. So what I did was I started to look at the various cities that had hired these mapping agencies for their zones, for their evacuation zones, know your zone. And I found out that they that there's a company, a corporation that provides maps in your cities, in my city, in most cities, and these are war maps. And I'm going to explain this to you. I've looked up my zone in my area and found small, defined geographical areas. They want us to evacuate, after which reentry to our properties will require reentry permits. Now, this all sounds good because once you're told to evacuate, they want a timely reentry order of things. But it goes beyond that. Here, they're telling us that if you are in commerce, if you're an ag producer selling and you have a permit where you are selling products, you will be able to re-enter sooner because you'll need to water your plants or your vegetables or whatever it is that you're growing for commerce, and of course your animals. Everyone else in private homes that may have private gardens that they still do need to water will not be allowed to pull permits for early re-entry. And they want us to hang out evacuation tags in front of our homes that we have in fact evacuated. Now, I can tell you in the 2017 fire here in Northern California, known as the Tubbs Fire, where over 5,000 homes burned over a couple of day period in October, there were truckloads of looters being bussed in. Again, these are intentional war zones created. They create the fires by multiple methods, and then they bring in the looters to loot the homes when people have abandoned them. So, of course, the concern would be is why would you put an abandoned sign on your home? They're telling you, well, then they don't have to come and knock on your door and advise you to evacuate. Well, I know for a fact that some people that have chosen not to evacuate have actually gotten firefighters, and not just only firefighters that are now being trained for evacuation purposes only, that will come and help stand and hold the fire at those homes, particularly if those homes are hardened up, if they've got lots of topside water and pumps and fire equipment themselves. They can and sometimes do get that help. Now, I can't say that will happen for all of you that are listening, but I know many people that are going to choose not to evacuate, and that is everyone's decision. You have to make that decision in advance and, of course, look at the parameters of the planned fire or weather event that you're facing, because these are horrific times and increasingly so. So what I discovered as I was looking into the map, I found that there was a company that was actually, it was an actual buyout from, it says, Genesis Inc. acquires emergency evacuation provider Zone Haven, Z-O-N-E Haven, H-A-V-I-N. So I looked into both of these companies and I was stunned beyond belief. I first looked at the management of Genesis to just get a sense of where I might be heading, and I found out that the board of directors are all aligned with defense and aerospace and military operations. I also found the connection between the long-range weapon systems that are used for crowd control, and as I looked at these board of directors, I started to realize this is a weaponized map, zoning us into weaponized areas. This falls in line exactly with what we've been hearing, certainly way back in the report from Iron Mountain, with house-to-house extractions of people in neighborhoods. And when I looked at this map, I realized that it's very similar to what you would see if there was interior law enforcement going through a home. They go through and they would clear one room at a time, clear, clear, clear. Well, that's what these maps are too, because remember, we have these evacuation maps now made by the systems that are destroying us. I'm going to go into a little bit more of Genesis, because as I was going through this, I was really, really shocked, stunned, and saddened beyond belief. I want to say that Genesis, a location-based mass messaging solution, sends emergency messages only to mobile phones located in an emergency area. Now, I want to tell you, during the fires, we experienced many cell phone towers that were burned down. Our cell phones were not working the night at 1 a.m. when people were needing to evacuate. They had no cell phone service. So I want to say to you, that's all part of a weaponized program where they can't really connect with you in the first place. But I was looking at, again, Genesis and Zone Haven. Again, Genesis acquired Zone Haven. And I found out that Genesis Incorporated is a global leader in critical communication systems and solutions, and they announced that they've acquired Zone Haven, a fast-growing provider of software as a service and solutions for emergency evacuations. Zone Haven has been providing planning and training and resources to first responders and safety agencies and communities to manage evacuations and repopulations successfully. Based in San Francisco, Zone Haven services service many fire departments and districts and law enforcement as well in over 200 cities in our area, with more than 3,300 evacuation zones covering 3.2 million people in Northern California and Southern Oregon. And they talk about, because of increasing wildfire, flooding, severe weather, active shooters, hazmat, and other crisis events, require proven solutions to help quickly move people away from danger. They talk about how Genesis Inc., we have recently seen in California and other areas of the world that critical events require preparation, real-time information, dynamic resources. That all sounds really great until you get to this part. And this is where the reality of these maps being war maps hit me. Genesis systems are in service in more than 100 countries in a range of diverse applications, and law enforcement, Homeland Security, and FEMA, and more. And all of us know what FEMA is really all about. But I also then found out that they are involved in LRAD, which is the Long Range Broadcasting Systems, and I found out this as well. Genesis, formally the Long Range Acoustic Device Corporation, LRAD, headquartered in San Diego, California, developed long-range acoustic hailing systems. Genesis' flagship product, the Sonic Weapon Long Range Acoustic Device, LRAD, has been used by the Israeli military against Palestinian civilians in the occupied Palestinian territory, commonly known as in Israeli military as the SCREAM. The LRAD blasts its targets with an extremely high volume and forced sound. It has been used in multiple times by the Israeli military in the occupied West Bank to attack Palestinian protesters. According to WHO Prophets, in 2011, the Israeli Ministry of Defense ordered almost 300,000 worth of LRAD systems. Different models of the LRAD are also used by the U.S. military and the Federal Bureau of Investigation, of course, the FBI. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and Custom Border Protection. Additionally, multiple police departments across the United States use LRAD as crowd control weapons against protesters, as first documented in Pittsburgh during the 2009 G20 summit. LRADs were later deployed by the U.S. police departments, for example, in New York and Oakland during the Occupy movement, in Standing Rock during the 2016 Dakota Access Pipeline protests, and in Washington, D.C. during the 2017 Women's March, and in the Black Lives Matter protests in New York, Ferguson, Portland, following the police killings of Eric Garner, Michael Brown, and George Floyd, respectfully. So I got into this further. I realize, of course, these are war maps. And because the reason that we're being forced to evacuate is, again, all part of the weaponized technology and the targeting of all of us. Then I found out this, and I'll enhance upon this in another show because I know that my time is limited during this broadcast this evening. And I will give you more information on this also at a later time. I have been talking about microgrids, which are grids set up when the grid goes down or the power goes down in your area, and it will. And certainly we've been warning and suggesting that people do and have a lights out party, a power outage party, so that you can see what you need in order to survive. During a power outage party, you should not be using any water, flushing toilets, flipping any light switches at all. In fact, tape all of your switches so you won't inadvertently turn it on, and start making a list while you live in the dark and in the cold or in the heat of all the things you would need if this happened for an extended period of time, because it will. Remembering that the electric grid is the largest machine in the world, and it has been built to fail. That's why we have not hardened up. There's only a few areas in the world that have hardened up more, and they're not, and it's not the United States. So what I've been noticing in my newspapers is that Congress has just passed a 26% tax credit for home solar and battery backup in 2021. Well, I ask myself, so why? Because I know they're going to turn the power off. Why are they wanting to give a 20% tax credit that all of you pay? Anyone that takes up this credit, everyone else is paying for it. And then I'm also realizing that the battery backup is all part of a weapon system, because they're using lithium ion batteries tied into a smart meter that then can be remotely controlled. It's part of the Internet of Things. It can be remotely controlled. So if there is a state of emergency in your town, and there seems to be states of emergency in all of our towns very frequently now, they can sequester the stored up energy that you have, that you paid the majority for, because they will have the right to take your power. They need more power to operate the takedown part of what they are doing in this country, transitioning us off of all legacy forms of resources. Is going to take a tremendous amount of power when you think about all of the electric vehicles, et cetera, that they are forcing up on us, or we're not going to be able to get gasoline as it soon is unfolding with the sustainable development plans. But what I learned about the microgrids is this, and this may be why you shouldn't feel so bad about California, because most of you are just going to experience takedowns of increased horrific weather events in multiple types of assaults. But here in California, they're talking about multiple customer microgrids. In other words, let me repeat, multiple customer microgrids, rare, difficult, and the future. In other words, you're not going to be invited to participate in an area.
Deborah, did we lose you?
No, I hear you.
Oh, okay. Something happened for a little bit. Okay, you stopped at you will not be able to participate in the area.
Yes, the microgrids that are being set up now, I'm going to discuss, this is vitally important, and most of the country is not a part of this grid system. Now, I can say I've talked about this in the past. I've had military documents. The military bases are all independently operational. If there's a power outage in the nearby town, they can obviously still function. They have backup generators, backup power, and whatever solar they've got. They're hardened up to survive. But you're not. Most people are not. So they say to us, when the switch is flipped on the coast of California, renewable energy microgrid will become the first multi-customer microgrid in Northern California, and one of only a handful of active microgrids in the United States. So I hope you heard that. One of the few. Now I want to go into this because I was a bit stunned at this, and I think you will be as well. This is discussing how microgrids will change the way electricity is made, delivered, and used, because they are eliminating electricity as we have known it. So they're talking about power production and how it goes local. There is a shift towards localized production of electricity, which will change the power system. The emergence of electric vehicles will only add to the grid's evolution. That is going to drastically change everything that we do in terms of both supply and delivery of energy and the use of it. We can foresee that there will be much more highly localized production and delivery of energy coming down to not just the microgrid, but down to the nano level. Digitization and software can control local generation and loads, providing an overarching optimal view of maximize the value of all distributed energy resources. They call it DER. You've got to save the customer's money and to do this and target sustainable goals. But you tie this into resiliency element and reliability element. In other words, they're going to continue to tell us that we must be resilient. And that was the meeting I attended that launched me off into much of what you're hearing being discussed this evening. They talk about how now people will save big bucks and the outages will be costing a fortune. We have had many outages here in Northern California due to the fires, and simply because Pacific Gas and Electric now is killing the system in many areas to not be responsible for their equipment starting fires, so they're just turning off their systems as well. They're also going to be eliminating the pole and wire system in the WUI, the Wildlands Urban Interface. They're going into the idea that there are microgrids, and if you're in the WUI, you are on your own. You may not have power at all ever again anyway, and that is the plan. That's all part of the Wildlands project that has been put forth for a very, very long time. And that leads me into a little bit more of a discussion here, because, again, very stunning. I've attended many microgrid power meetings here before COVID, and I quite frankly left very traumatized. But I'm going to go into this right now. So think they are developing a microgrid, a first ever for California and a model for elsewhere, so they're saying. Now, this information is dated July the 9th of 2021. This is fresh off the press. And they say after scaling development feats, the northern coast, and they're talking about airports, how they're going to have the microgrids at the airports. Obviously, they need to keep the airports up and running for military purposes. They say California, first 100% renewable front of the meter microgrid has begun construction. They say that California's northern coast is a model for the state of the country, said Jared Huffman. He is one of our representatives. He says our 20th century infrastructure is just no longer up to the task of providing power to many communities in the 21st century. We're going to have extreme heat, wind-driven wildfires, water shortages. Increasingly, we're concerned about the condition of our roads, bridges, airports, and the playbook on infrastructure really has to be rewritten. So, as I have said so many times before, and I will continue on this topic in a moment, that our infrastructure is now becoming weaponized. They will be taking down the bridges. They will be causing failures for wastewater treatment plants, which we've suffered through here. And I know Florida had a difficult time when they were hacked. All of this wireless connectivity and all of the infrastructures that we have are not built. They're not engineered to withstand the increased attacks of the technologies and the change of weather and heat conditions. They are simply not built for what is now being done to all of us. So they go on to say, that the microgrid at the airport, they're discussing this in Washington, D.C. So, and it's called the Utility Resilience Reliability Act, which he said would bolster California's electrical infrastructure against disasters and public safety power shutoffs. Now, a microgrid will typically be able to run for 2 weeks in island mode with and will serve 20 customers. Now, we're talking about an island grid that will power for 2 weeks on an island mode. An island mode means that the rest of the community can be without lights, without water, without any other connectivity to resources, but it will only serve up to 20 customers. So we are not invited into these microgrids near the airports. So as I moved along into this information, I found this to be extremely disheartening, absolutely stunning, that Chick-fil-A restaurants are going to install test microgrids ahead of possible national rollouts. Restaurants in San Diego, Santa Rosa, California, Stockton, California will beta test the microgrid system designed for 5,000 square foot buildings, according to the company, which is backed by Morgan Stanley Energy Partners. You want to look up Morgan Stanley Energy Partners. These are the bankers. They are going to be utilizing Chick-fil-A's in the microgrid system. Here's what they say. The microgrids will provide continuous power during local utility outages using a mix of solar, off-site natural gas generators, and on-site energy storage controlled by artificial intelligence dashboard, according to Seoul Microgrid. The gas generators will only be used during power outages, according to Chick-fil-A. This solution will allow Chick-fil-A to provide a place where guests in the community can convene, enjoy a meal, and plug in when the power is not available to them in their homes. And this was said by April Farage, a Chick-fil-A operator in Stockton, California. So Chick-fil-A is in on this scam. It's interesting that they were certainly put forth in a very different light. I think many of us thought of that organization as being different. Of course, we can certainly expect fake meat, fake chicken, and GMO food while we dine at Chick-fil-A when all of our houses are without power. And that'll be interesting as we're in a lockdown to see how that works out, too. You'll have to meet all of your local health requirements before you can even go to one of these microgrids that Chick-fil-A will be offering the convenience of food. They go on, unexpected power outages are problematic in lots of ways. They create uncertainty among our customers and cause waste. I'm really hopeful that this microgrid will provide some independence from commercial energy. So let's talk about what you need to do right now. And what everyone listening must do and consider doing right now is, again, have that power outage party, understand what you need, get, if you can afford it, get some multiple types of generators that work on diesel, electricity, other fuels as well. Know that that won't be available for long. For the short term, some of the generators can and will work, but in the long term, you're going to really need to look at portable solar and battery operational systems. Now, if you keep, and I say this hesitantly, but if you can get, which is very difficult, the silicon gel batteries and get a relocatable solar panel, you can literally cart this around and keep refrigerators plugged in and not have this battery blow up. When the lithium ion batteries blow up, it's very difficult to put the fires out. And I have been told time and time again, lithium ion batteries should not be used in any location where there are massive fires. Well, that would be the entire Western United States. And thank you very much. There are fires everywhere else because the smart meters explode and help to cause fires. And you can look up smart meters cause fires and you'll be stunned at the pages that will follow if they haven't taken that down from the internet. But that's a problem throughout the entire country. So PG&E, again, Rothschild, is looking at microgrids to avert wildfire power shutoffs. PG&E is Rothschild. They're starting these events in conjunction with the military, and we are the enemy. That is why they have those war maps. So they talk about rural, remote, off-grid facilities located end of wildlife-prone distribution lines, distribution microgrids for key resources such as hospitals in towns and cities, and substation microgrids. So they're only going to be providing the microgrids for things that are commerce. Now, they say hospitals, but I'm not certain when I'm not seeing where these microgrids are being fashioned. The remote microgrid was built and installed by Box Power. You want to look up Box Power, B-O-X Power, and included solar energy storage and backup propane generation. This is a new approach to utility service. The whole of the remote microgrid is to remove those power lines that run through high fire threat areas. The company decided to install microgrids instead of rebuilding and hardening and maintaining the distribution line because it is more cost effective. Now, what they're saying is in the high fire zones or areas where there are prone to be disasters, they will not be rebuilding your electric system. And you will need to be in a microgrid system. That will be a forced relocation into an area that they will supply what you need to survive. Now, that is why we are going to need to be as independent and self-reliant as possible. And I can't underscore that enough. So I will go into this in more detail in the next show that I do. But I can only say that what lies ahead for all of us to try to harden up against so that we're more difficult to kill, which is what we must consider, because that is the plan, to depopulate us dramatically. And I want to end by recommending this book, and Yana, you're familiar with this book as well. It's The Story of the Committee of 300 by Dr. John Coleman. Now, I do have on Stop the Crime .net. I have a conference there that you can listen to that he did in 1994. And I'm going to just read a couple of things out of the book so that you will be encouraged to buy this book. I've been very hesitant all these years, I must say, in reading books because I know many writers of books that don't understand that our government is a corporation, and they talk about how you must become your government by becoming active locally in your city councils and your boards of supervisors. That is not possible. And for any of you that think that, I am so sorry. You are massively misled. And that is the problem that our country faces. That opportunity has long since been stripped away from us. All of our cities are on autopilot, and they've already adopted sustainable development plans and regulations, and they are massively moving forward to take your resources and to require retrofitting in your homes when they're not allowing you to even increase your rent. I don't know if you're aware, you may be, but because of COVID, there have been many cities throughout the country that have not been able to increase rents or evict current tenants. But putting that all aside, on page 164 of John Coleman, I'm going to read a few paragraphs. This all relates to what you've just been hearing me discuss now, and this was said some time ago, and this is the plan of the Committee of 300. Okay, here we go. Euthanasia for the terminally ill and the aged shall be compulsory. No cities shall be larger than a predetermined number, as described in the work of Calgary. Essential workers will be moved to other cities if the one they are in becomes overpopulated. Other non-essential workers will be chosen at random and sent to unpopulated cities to fill quotas. Now, this is all part of the microgrid, because when you're not in a grid and you can't self-sustain and you have no water and no electricity, your local health department is going to deem your property as being unsafe and not healthy, and you will be forced to relocate. So that would certainly fall into what Dr. John Coleman told us about the Committee of 300 there, but goes on to say at least 4 billion useless eaters shall be eliminated by means of limited wars, organized epidemics, of fatal rapid-acting diseases, and starvation. Energy, food, and water shall be kept at a subsistence levels for the non-elite, starting with the white population of Western Europe and North America, and then spreading to other races. The population of Canada, Western Europe, and the United States will be decimated more rapidly than any other continents until the world's population reaches a manageable level of 1 billion, of which 500 million will consist of Chinese and Japanese races, selected because they are people who have been regimented for centuries and who are accustomed to obeying authority without question. From time to time, there shall be artificially contrived food and water shortages and medical care to remind the masses that their very existence depends on the goodwill of the Committee of 300. After the destruction of housing, which we were just talking about with the planned illusion of water shortages when water is renewable, we're not running out. The destruction of housing, you just heard me discuss Idaho and Utah are not going to be allowing new construction. That's going to fall across all states because if you don't know it, you're all running out of water. But it goes on to say, after the destruction of housing, auto, steel, and heavy good industries, there shall be limited housing, and industries of any kind allowed to remain shall be under the direction of NATO's Club of Rome, as shall all scientific and space exploration deployment. Goes on, all essential and non-essential pharmaceutical products, doctors, dentists, and healthcare workers will be registered in the central computer data bank, and no medicine or medical care will be prescribed without express permission from regional controllers responsible for each city, town, and village. And it goes on, which we know, and it says here too, that the United States will be flooded by people of alien cultures who will eventually overwhelm white America, and people will have to consent to the United States. Well, it goes on. This is just from page 164. I'm not going to read the whole book to you. I do highly recommend it. I also highly recommend that you read about the 45-page document entitled Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. You can download that from stopthecrime.net or just on the internet, Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. So with that, I'm going to wrap up this quick update on the water situation. It is amping up here in the most horrific ways possible. People will not be allowed to water outdoor landscaping. That is going to reduce our oxygen supply. And Jana, I would like on our next program to discuss the poisons and toxins that are on all surface water delivery systems that the entire world is getting from believing that our water only comes from rain and snowmelt, which it doesn't. Actually, rain and snowmelt is the evaporation of the water that is created by two gases, hydrogen and oxygen, that comes up from down below the mantle of the earth. And Jana, we've done a number of interviews with Paul Power, whom I consider one of the experts in primary water. And that having been said, Paul is now getting ready to return to his native country, Hungary. And that is why we have given you options of contacting other primary water consultants on primarywater.org. And I will keep you posted with the microgrid future. These are our planned survival zones only for a few to access. None of us, unless you have made provisions now to be able to survive off-grid. If you haven't, if you have not made provisions to survive off-grid, the consequences are going to be very, very severe. And I would recommend that you read the book 1 Second After, if you have not. It is a book that I picked up years ago in a conference in St. Louis from the author on looking at what the United States would look like with any type of massive power outage. And I've talked about this multiple times in the past, how there's massive looting in streets and stores, massive mayhem. And now with all of our prisons being assaulted, wherein prisoners are being released, sadly, the sheriff and police departments can't hold some of the criminals back for long. Here in California, they don't even have to post bail, and they are released back out onto the streets. So what we're going to have is a policed madness on the streets, and people are going to be hungry, and they're going to be mostly without power. So you need to plan for a very rough future ahead. I wish I could say that it wasn't going to be as severe as I'm outlining, but it is going to be worse than what I'm outlining. So just do all you can to harden up, to be less easy to be killed. Try to survive. We're going to need some survivors here on the other side of, hopefully there is another side to all of this. And again, Jan and Steve, I want to thank you so much for having me on the program tonight. This is Deborah Taveras with StopTheCrime.net and PrimaryWater.org. And I will alert you to two videos that I've just posted up within the last 16 hours. So again, go to StopTheCrime.net, go to our Odyssey video channel, and keep yourself apprised, and also go to the Blast Out tab in under our menu, so that if you have not subscribed for Blast Outs, you can catch up and read what these Blast Outs contain. Most important for your survivability and to know how to plan for your future. And the future is now, and we have to hurry and get ourselves situated as soon as possible before the next lockdown. So again, thank you, Jan and Steve.
Thank you, Deborah.
Yes, thank you, Deborah, for joining us this evening. And of course, I know it doesn't look like a very promising future for so many people, very bleak indeed, but you know, it's better to be prepared and aware of what's going on in the world than it is to be caught off guard. And, well, that would just put you in a circumstance you would rather not find yourself in. Anyway, StopTheCrime.net as well as PrimaryWater.org. And you can check out more information with Deborah. And we thank you again, Deborah, for being with us here tonight.
Thank you so much.
Hold on.